It's been a while since I've been somewhere and I've been slagged off for being too well dressed. But so I'll take my jacket off and maybe I'll get back into my Glasgow Palermo and maybe not be so well dressed. But I guess you come to a place and you hear it's the Brethren. You think, well, they always get sharp suits and sharp cars. So you think, well, I better, you know, dress up a wee bit. So here, I come here and I discover that I'm getting slagged off for being for even having my purple hanky and, you know. But listen, it's great to be with you. I'm really excited about being here. I'm just going to get my notes out of my briefcase. You're absolutely right. I'm not switched on yet. Just you wait till I get switched on. Today I've been invited to speak about Sanctuary First, which is the congregation that I'm the minister of. And it's a big congregation. It's a worldwide congregation. But can I give you a wee bit of history about myself, just so you know who's talking to you? My name is Albert Bogle. I've been a parish minister in one parish for 34 years. And I had about maybe five or six different kinds of ministries. When we started a wee back in the 1980s, we started to think about how best to communicate faith. And one of the areas was I developed and worked with a group of musicians, and we ended up having a band called the Bogle Band, and we recorded a lot of music. And we went around different parts of the world, from America to Australia, sharing the Christian faith. While I was still being a parish minister. And so within the Church of Scotland, there is a great deal of freedom given to the minister. All you really need to do is turn up on a Sunday morning and preach a reasonably good sermon and pick out the three or four people that need to be visited that week, and that's it. Well, it's not quite like that, but that's me just being facetious. But there's a great freedom in ministry within the church to do different things. And so I got involved in various ways because at my heart is, I suppose, I'm an evangelist. And so I wanted to use my gifts to communicate the message of the gospel. And with that came a real interest in technology and where that goes. And so into the 80s, we started to get video cameras. Believe it or not, there were video cameras in the 80s. And by the early 90s, I think we were the first church in the Church of Scotland, certainly, to have up the big screen, and then to have the mixing desk, and then to bring in, we had four or five worship bands in the congregation, different worship band every week. So as you can, you don't get the same old stuff every week. You know, so you get some folk music, you might get some jazz one week, and then you might get some sort of Doolally, Graham Kendrick stuff, you know, the kind of charismatic stuff that makes you feel a wee bit good. You get some of that as well. And we started to work through all that, and then of course comes the internet and comes the opportunity to start thinking about how you can grow church and develop church on the internet, how you can stream out your services online. We started to do that in the mid-2000s. And from then, we started to grow what we call now as Sanctuary First. I want to tell you a little bit about Sanctuary First. Sanctuary First ministry today is reaching out to the people who have given up in church but are not but are still Christians. Do you know we've got thousands of people? You know them. Some of them are your friends. They've given up in church for a number of reasons. Sometimes it's the politics that go on in church. Sometimes it's quite hard. Sometimes they've given up in church because they used to go to a really vibrant fellowship, and then they moved house and they moved to a new place and they find it hard to connect again. We've got literally thousands of spiritual refugees, and we need to realize that. And if you're used to coming to one congregation all your life, you forget about that. And it's become more and more open to me and to Martha and I, because after being 34 years in one parish and having a team of people and having a group of people who you love and you've done so many amazing things with, you find yourself in a church, when the Church of Scotland, it's good practice to tell you leave your congregation and you find your own way. I now know what it's like to feel lonely, to feel I've not got a spiritual home. So my spiritual, and so I'm connecting. You know, it's a prophetic thing. God lifts you out and says, Bogle, you've had enough of that. Now you're going to feel what it's like for the people you're going to minister to, those who are disconnected from church. And so that's what Sanctuary First is seeking to do, is connect again and reconnect people who have been disconnected from church, but also to connect with people who are disconnected from church but they go every Sunday. How many of us are like that? We turn up every Sunday, but we don't expect God to turn up every Sunday. Only in some occasions. And it's just a routine. But people are looking for something deeper in their faith. They're looking for material that's going to engage some of the issues that's facing them in their everyday life. And as evangelicals, we're often looking for honesty and integrity. And you know what? We have believed that the Word became flesh and moved among us. We've been talking about that in the Breaking of Bread service today. But you know then what we do? We then turn the Word from flesh back into Word again. And so we have an understanding of God that is so rooted in language that we've forgotten there's a world, there's another language called the visual language. There's the language of your body, of your soul, of how you walk, how you move, how you talk, how you live. All of that is what it means when the Word became flesh. Christ became human. He came among us. He laughed and he joked and he sang and he drank and he had fun and he cried and he connected with those who were outside, who were disconnected from the synagogues. So that's where we are coming from. I could preach a whole sermon on that, but that's where we're coming from. So there are nine strategies, nine programs that I'm working on. I find in life it's very important when you're entrepreneuring things, you throw up lots of plates and you keep spinning them. Some of them work, so you've got to keep that spinning and then you pass it on to somebody else to spin for you. But you need to have things going because not everything works. But you need a strategy. So we want to continue to create daily reflections and prayers from scripture reading using the lectionary. We're passionate about people reading the Bible and praying and being able to comment and having a daily reflection. So I have people who don't go to church but read the Bible more and pray more than most of the people who go to the Church of Scotland. Maybe more of the people come here as well. So it's about trying to include in the midst of all that. Then we include podcasts, we include videos, we include blogs, and the weekly sermon log, which is a 10-minute video sermon summarizing what we've been thinking about that week. But at the end of every prayer, there is an opportunity for people to comment and begin to create this community. We also, on the Sanctuary First website, you can look it up. You can get out your phone and look it up just now if you want. It's www.sanctuaryfirst.org.uk. But you can also go on Facebook, and there's a Facebook page where we do different things in Facebook and try to get people from Facebook onto the main site. We also have an app, which has been going now for about 8 years, and that needs updated. In fact, we're in the process of updating that app. And one of the things we're hoping the app is going to do is when people see the daily reading and the daily prayer and reflection, they just press the button and they record their thoughts, a 30-second recording, and that will go up for the day and people will be able to see the interaction, creating community. So the program, the worship program, is about developing deeper discipleship. We also then, and I'll talk about this in a moment, because we're looking for partners to join with us, because it's not just about creating an online church. We're also thinking about, this is a theological thing we'll talk about later on, but I haven't time to do it all today. You need to come to one of our workshops, and there's opportunity for you to do this. We were thinking about the difference between church online and online church. Sanctuary First is online church, but church online is what happens in normal church life, but then it's put online for people to see. But online church is happening all online, but then trying to find contacts offline to connect with people. So we have connect groups in different places, like in Costa coffee shops or in people's homes, where they can connect with those who are looking at the material, and we produce Bible study material every week. So apart from your daily prayers and Bible readings, it's very hungry. We have about 80 writers that write and produce the material. Then we take that material and turn it into Bible study material for every week. And there's basically three questions that's asked in the Bible study material every week that you can then take into the Costa coffee shop, and or you can bring to your home and begin to do further growth and development. And I think that's part of the future of the church, these smaller groups. So the first thing is we're developing a worship program which is trying to deepen people's Christian discipleship. The second ship is partnership program. We're trying to redefine the meaning and the role of online and offline congregations in relation to online, in relation to online church and church online. In other words, we're looking to connect with congregations from different denominations. I'm not fussy, because I really think the future of the church, denominations are gone. The Church of Scotland is deconstructing itself as we speak. And it's happening all over the country. Denominations are gone. Institutionalized things are gone. We've got much to learn from the Brethren community of the past. Much to learn. But the Holy Spirit's at work in our world. I don't despair about the demise of the institution, because I believe with all my heart in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. And when someone walks out of the church and they say and they leave the community, the Spirit of God is still at work in their lives. And He will draw them into another community where they will begin to find some kind of fellowship and faith. So that's an area we're looking at. We'll be doing workshops on this, because we've made a connect. I'll be talking about this in a moment too. Is we're interested in the theology behind all of what we're doing. So it's not just a gimmick, but it's about how. It's interesting what you said about your community. You said to people, we're all online. People no longer talk so much about being online or offline. People are now talking about you're living an integrated life. It's part of who you are. This technology is there, and you're identifying with it, and you're and this is where the theological stuff comes in. We start thinking about the theology and the philosophy of what makes identity. And so, if I have these Zoom meetings, because my staff, we meet together, and the week we Zoom one another, four or five of us talking from different parts of the country. Now, am I really speaking to you when you're on Zoom? Or is that just your image? Because you're in two places at once, in my mind. And then that creates a whole dynamic to start thinking about theology. To start thinking about, what does prayer mean? I remember being in India once. Visited India over the years on a number of occasions. And this wonderful spiritual pastor, he was talking to me about what it means to be transported in the Spirit. And he said, Albert, when I pray, you know the way the Indians speak, it's beautiful. And he's just in the speaking, and he says, when I pray, sometimes I'm praying for my brothers and sisters in China who are going through difficult times. And he said, sometimes I'm caught up in the Spirit and I'm transported and I'm there with them. And I go, oh, I'm a Presbyterian. It's a wee bit shaky and stuff. But here was someone talking about what it means to be lifted and transported by the Spirit. Now, this is not scriptural. Do you not read in the scripture about Philip when he meets the Ethiopian and then he's transported somewhere else? Brothers and sisters, there's more to all of this than we could ever imagine. And technology, it's just scratching the surface of what God can do and create community in different ways and bring us together and bring people together in a way that we can hardly believe Interesting, on Friday night we have a thing also on Facebook, we call it a Friday Night Review, and I bring in the contributors for the week and also anybody else that wants to be part of it. We do a Zoom conversation and then we stream it out on Facebook. And on Friday we had a communion service and we streamed out an online communion service. Now, I remember having a long debate with Ian Torrance, Professor Torrance, on this whole area, because he's interested in identity. But is that possible? Can you have online communion? Well, you see, that's then the theology. You start going in to think at the very heart of what the message of the gospel is. Can you have online communion? And I think you can. But that's an area for people to start thinking about. So we're trying to see ways in which we can build partnerships with congregations. We're building partnership with the various congregations at the moment, and we had an online conference in Tully Allen Church just this time last year. We had about 200 people at it, and probably about 60-70 congregations of the Church of Scotland represented. And we're partnering with, we've signed a research agreement with Durham University, with Dr. Pete Phillips, and we're now looking at and being connected with the Centre for Digital Theology. And we're linking in now with New College. And you can see where I'm going now, because I want to influence the trainee ministers, those who are thinking about ministry, how this new communication, how we can be better communicators. Because that's what draws people. Good music, good communicators. And then the reality is we've got to live it. And people see it by our lives. And that's the mission program. Promoting methods of growing sanctuary first, worshiping community over the next 3 years. We want to grow a community. We do that through advertising on Facebook and social media. And we also have a part-time member of staff now working 10 hours a week with me to promote the Sanctuary First on social media. We also create videos, conferences, promotional cards, worship in alternative venues. And we continue to accept invitations to speak at churches like this and guilds. And we especially value the proactive partnership we've got just now with Falkirk Trinity Church, where we're reaching out and we're doing connect groups in the Costa coffee shop with Falkirk Trinity Church there. So our idea is to create these connections, because it's the church people that have the connections with the people who've given up in church. And it's the church people, it's Christians that have a connection with people, friends of yours, who are not Christians yet, but the Holy Spirit's been working in them. Why do you think they're your friend? Have you thought about that? Why do you think they're drawn to you? Because they like you. C.S. Lewis said that he became a Christian first and foremost because he started to look round the staff room and he was impressed by the Christians in the staff room. And he wasn't a Christian, he was an atheist at the time, but he was drawn towards them. People are drawn towards you. That's when you talk about Jesus. That's when you open up and you say, you know, this website, it's actually first. It's a safe place. You see what I'm saying? See, this material goes across all the denominations because it's scriptural. You should look at that. And then when people dig into it, they see there's a little bit, it says pastoral support. You click into pastoral support and you start seeing if you've been bereaved. And they start getting help about bereaved. Are you feeling lonely? Are you feeling discouraged? Now, one of the things I would like to link into that is online counselling. But we're not ready for that yet, because I need to make sure I get the right kind of people to be online counsellors. We could get headbangers. Committed Christians that are headbangers. And chase the people away and frighten them. So enthusiastic. We've met them. And then the sensible ones like yourself, you don't want to do it. Oh no, I don't want, no, not me. I might say the wrong thing. You won't say the wrong thing. But we need, that's an area forward that we're looking to find ways of forward in which we can do that. I was going to show you stuff from the website, but I think you can just go in and look at it yourself and you can see the stuff. We do a lot of really interesting things. The resource program is there as well. We've got over 400 videos. There's over 3,000 prayers, Bible readings, reflections on site. There's umpteen blogs, podcasts. There's a lot of stuff there that people can use as a way forward. Another area we want to develop a program is a children's program. I think there's a great opportunity to connect with children on the internet. It's got to be done so carefully and so wisely, and we've got safeguarding people at 121 helping us to think about all this. But the way forward is we don't have Sunday schools in the Church of Scotland. We're losing people that just don't come to church. But we've got young families who are in mother and toddlers groups. They're going all kinds of places. That if we had material that we teach children just things that are not scary in the Bible, we don't need to give them all the scary bits in the Bible, but we could just tell them the parables of Jesus and begin to develop that kind of work. And so we're looking at that, and we've got a team, we're trying to raise funding for that to set up a special Sanctuary First focused website for that material. We also think we need to be thinking, I think theology is very important. You know, you need to understand your knowledge of God. Calvin said knowledge of God begins to help you to have knowledge of who you are. Do you know why community is important? You know, don't you? Come on, you've heard so many preachers, teachers. Answer me back. Why is community important? Because God is community. God is communion. Being is communion. Interesting book to read by Zuzulis, Being is Communion. Greek Orthodox metropolitan theologian. Leading us in to see the importance of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in communion. God has created us in His image. That's why people want to be in communion. In fact, you can't live outside of community. You'll wither and die because you were made to be in communion. And so what we're trying to do is create and think about a theology that centres, that's got an understanding of God at the centre of who God is, creating community and making us His people. So one of the things we were looking at is the conference we had last year was we're looking at reimagining church. What does it mean to reimagine church in a different way today? We're also trying to find ways in the programme of creating ecumenical partnerships with institutions and denominations who are exploring digital theology and worship and also mission. I told you I had many kind of ministries in being 34 years in one parish. One of the joys I had was founding the Vine Trust, which is an international development organisation. Today we send over 400 volunteers a year to different parts of the world, to Tanzania to Peru, 200 doctors, dentists and nurses. And we connect with the corporate world. And we invite them to come and help us in our humanitarian work. That's mission. And I have corporates who come. Corporates who know nothing of faith, or say they know nothing of faith, but they do. And when I'm sitting in the back of a lorry or a taxi, getting shuggled about somewhere from Moshi down to somewhere else in Tanzania or somewhere in Peru, going up the Amazon in a boat, this chief executive will say to you, after 2 or 3 days with you, you know, my mother was a member of the Women's Guild. Oh, really? Oh, do you know, I was brought up in the Boys' Brigade. It's not that I don't believe. I've just become disconnected. Now, for the minister of the online church, that's brilliant. Bring out my wee card and say, there you go. Start looking at Sanctuary First. start getting connected. Why am I telling you that? Because I learned in Vine Trust that mission is not telling people about Jesus, it's bringing people to meet Jesus. And how are you going to meet Jesus? But in the community. Come on a journey with me. Do you know, as evangelicals, we used to always say, oh, the sound. Well, we better not include them, you know. They need to sign the profession of faith before they get involved to work with us. Nonsense. I had a rule in Bowness. I had about 13, 14 of a staff, and I had a rule at least I wanted five people who are not Christians. And then I used to say to the other Christians, and woe betide you guys if you don't live Christ, because you're going to make five new Christians, because they're going to see Jesus in you. That's a challenge, isn't it? Can we live it? And when we bring people on a journey with us, come as you are, and meet Jesus. So that's when I'm opening up a new area of mission, because our website is hungry for music, it's hungry for films, it's hungry for content. So we're now promoting an idea called the Secret Chord Sessions. You know that, you know the Leonard Cohen song? Ere there was a secret chord, David played before the Lord. But you don't really like music, do you? You know that one? The secret chord, that always fascinated me. As a musician, can I listen to that chord, Jesus, do you like it? Oh no, I've heard that one before, get me another one. Pop it that! What about that song? Is that something new? So we're starting to invite in our area, when I'm working, living over in Bridge of Allen in Stirling, we've got a church that's going to be, it's going to be closing. I'm hoping Presbytery's going to give us it. We're going to turn it into a digital recording studio. And we're going to invite, we've started to already, we've got 10 different artists and musicians coming to start record some of their songs. And you know, the funny thing is that most people's songs, they want their songs to have some content and meaning. It's not Buddy Holly, oh boy, you know, the light stuff that we used to sing in the 60s. No, no, this generation want substance to their art. It's a great way to journey with people. 18 months ago, I met a young filmmaker. He said, I need you to make some films for me. I'll pay you £400 for a film, and this is a film I want you to make. I want you to make a film about breaking bread. What's that all about? So I told him about what it was all about, and he started to think he's made this beautiful film 18 months ago. He's now on our team. He's now finding his way into faith. In fact, Jack's on the podcast and listening to him. Jack was saying how he's a Christian, I'm quite sure. He'll look at me and say, what makes me think I'm not a Christian? In other words, there are so many people out there, if we bring them in and give them a job to do and encourage them to work with us and share with us, I think we can start seeing something wonderful happening. So this arts program is something I'm working on, bringing the artists back into church again, bringing the musicians back into church again, bringing those who have something creative, the creatives, getting in touch with the creatives. Some of you get sons and daughters and nephews that are just one step away from church, but they're never going to be here. But you could tell them about Sanctuary first. You could say, they're looking for musicians, they're looking for writers. Why don't you get involved? Why don't you give them a contact? And finally, there's one other area we're looking at, is income generating. And one of the things is I'm trying to think about is ways in which we can start thinking about what we're doing with music, what we're doing with some of our projects and communities, where we can raise and earn some money in order to pay more people to work with us to create a Sanctuary First into what it should be, a living, dynamic, growing community of worshipping people. And I've come to the conclusion that that's the challenge for us as a church, to look out to those many thousands of people who are not far from the kingdom. And how can we do it? And I think online church allows us to do that. If you're interested and you'd like to know more about these things, we're having a workshop on the 9th of March, and it'll be on the webpage shortly, but it'll be in Edinburgh, in Edinburgh University, the 9th of March, and we're calling it Digital Church Essentials. And then on the 6th of April, we've got Digital Church Towards Flourishing. And then on the 4th of May, it's Digital Church Creativity and Creatives, and then Digital Church Time to Fish. And what we're doing is we've picked up these themes because these are all the themes that we're going to be exploring in our Bible readings and our teaching in Sanctuary First as well. And we're opening that up now to the academics and the theologians to come and engage with us and trying to inspire them as they teach young people into ministry. And to see, basically, I'm looking for a new program and a new course that's going to be accredited in this whole area of digital theology. So that's what we're about. I could have shown you all the things and made it interesting for you, but hopefully I could see you were all listening. So I thought, when you've got people listening, I'll just go for it. But you can watch, go on to Sanctuary First, www.sanctuaryfirst.org.uk, and just spend some time on it, and pass it around. And I've got little cards here that you can take with you if you want to pass them on to someone and make them aware of what Sanctuary First is about. Please take as many if you want, and that's great. So thank you very much for allowing me to share with you. One final thing I wanted to share, and there was two Bible readings I had this morning, and I'm thinking about what you've been thinking about in the breaking of bread service. So what is it that the Lord requires of us? And Micah tells us in chapter 6, seek justice, love mercy, to walk humbly with God. And if we look at another link verse that I had, was over in Timothy, which was mentioned in our Bible reading, in our thinking this morning. The very end of that chapter in Timothy in chapter 6, you know, that whole idea of Micah is picked up by Paul, and he's saying, don't get waylaid into meaningless discussions about words. Live the gospel. Live it by walking humbly. Live it by showing mercy. And live it knowing that you're walking beside Christ. And that is fascinating. The Spirit of God is working in your life today. Who are you connecting someone to? When I get invited to a new place like this, I always think to myself, well, Lord, what's your plans for this? You've not brought me here for nothing. Who am I talking to? Is it somebody that's going to go out in one of the boats to Tanzania or the Amazon? Is it someone who's a filmmaker, a singer-songwriter? Is it someone who knows somebody who's can make a connection? Exciting being a Christian, isn't it? You just don't know who God's going to lead us to if we find ourselves walking with Him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father God, thank you for this time together. Help us to understand that you are at work in your world and that technology is all part of the way your world is evolving. Give us grace to understand that and to keep ever close to you. For we pray these things through Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you.